St. Paul writes, I've only got one boast. There's only one thing that brings me glory. In the cross of Christ, thy glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. It's in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, that the world has been crucified to me, and I've been crucified to the world. All newborn soldiers of the crucified, they bear on their brows the seal of him who died. Lift, huh? That's weightlifting. Lift high the cross. The love of Christ proclaim until all the world adores God's sacred name. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Lift high the cross. The love of Christ proclaim till all the world adore his sacred name. St. Paul is coming to the conclusion of his letter to the church at Galatia. Chapter 6, chapters 1 through 4 dealt with doctrine. Chapters 5 and 6, they deal with ethics. It's about how we live this good news of Jesus Christ. We begin with the Spirit. Paul says, let's end with the Spirit. He moves from the indicative to the imperative. And the whole time, he's grounded in the grace of God, the costly grace of Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to set us free from sin and the present evil age. Last week, Paul says to the Galatians and to us in the 21st century, there's a war going on. There's a battle going on between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Works, plural, fruit, singular. They're opposed to each other. They're not friends. You saw what we did last week. We put all of those works of the flesh in the trash, but they got taken out of the trash and put up for the second service. So at the second service, we said, we got to do something more permanent. And we put them through the shredder. But Satan is relentless. He jammed that shredder. Some of you were here to see that. And so we had to tear up the rest of those works of the flesh by hand to get rid of that stinking stuff. Because a little leaven leavens the lump, and one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. Paul says, don't you know that for freedom Christ has set you free? Galatians. Martin Luther said, it's my epistle to which I'm betrothed. It's my Katie von Bora. Galatians, the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. Don't let anybody bewitch you. Don't let anyone cast a spell on you. Don't be foolish, Paul says. There is no other gospel. You have received the Spirit of adoption, clothed, so to speak, in the righteousness of Jesus. Don't let anyone sell you a bill of goods. You've got the real McCoy. Don't settle for a cheap substitute. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. If you add anything to Jesus, if you subtract anything from Jesus, you don't got Jesus. And we're still in our sins, and we still live by condemnation and the curse of the law. And the only reaping we have to look forward to, the only harvest, is the grave. Everything minus Jesus equals nothing. It's not what we do, it's what God in Christ has already done for us. Costly grace. It doesn't mean that we live like libertines. It doesn't mean that we live like legalists. It's not a license for sin. And costly grace is not, I do as I please because I'm free. No, that's the works of the flesh, Paul says. And we're shredding those to pieces. But you've got the Spirit. That's how you began. That's how God intends that you're going to end. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You want to live by the law? Well, then live by the law of Christ, Paul says to the Galatians. It's really simple. The whole law, he said, is summed up in one commandment. You will love your neighbor as yourself. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. Bear one another's burdens. Carry your own load and fulfill the law of Christ. That's how Paul is bringing his letter to a conclusion. And then he talks about the law of sowing and reaping. We all know how that's supposed to work, but doesn't always play out so well. Friday night, a large amusement park down in Texas near Dallas. There was a mother and two kids on this huge roller coaster ride, 14 stories high, 4,900 feet long. She got into the roller coaster and her kids were right there beside her, into this little car, and she said, "I don't think I'm secure." And the worker there said, "If you heard it click, you're okay." You know what happened to that mother? Did you hear this story? She was going down this roller coaster with her two kids right with her in the same car, and she flew out and she was killed. Now let me ask you, do you think she did something terrible? You think God was enacting a pound of flesh upon her? You think she was reaping what she sowed? Or is this the world we live in, where evil won't leave us alone, where the works of the flesh continue to beat us up and pummel us to death? You know the story I told you last Sunday about Michael Scott? Michael Scott, remember the young boy that went on the Twin Cities cruising? He was a friend of my son's about 15 years ago. And he went into Wednesday's, changed his mind, didn't want the hamburger stuff he had ordered, so he puts a human hair, his own hair, into there and goes up to the counter and says, "I need a new meal. Look what you gave me." And then you remember we went to the theater and saw Raisin in the Sun. And we came out and the van had been broken into because somebody forgot to lock the side door. You remember that story? And there were some things that were stolen. And Michael had 30 of his music CDs stolen. Do we reap what we sow? You think there's a direct correlation between our disgusting sin and then the harvest that we get in return? You think God is some kind of a big bully out there with a club saying, "Let me swing away"? It's not always that way, my friends. What we give isn't always what we get. Pastor Gary Carver, he went with his wife, and they were hiking on, what did they call that? It was a little river canyon located in Alabama. And he's out there with his wife, and they went on different paths, and they were walking. They were going to meet up at another place. He's right there on the rim of the canyon. You know what's fun about canyons? You can yell things out. So he did that. He goes, "Baloney!" But nothing came back. He thought, "Well, this isn't a very good canyon. Where's the echo? You're supposed to get what you give, right? You're supposed to reap what you sow, right?" So he became a little bit bold. And so he yells out again. He says, "I'm the best preacher in the whole world." The echo comes back, "Baloney!" The law of the echo, huh? I remember a number of years ago, there was a pastor doing pulpit supply. He'd take his little boy with him. And they would go out into rural areas that couldn't afford a pastor. And then they would do pulpit supply. And on this particular Sunday, the preacher, the father, had his boy with him. They get to the church. He's supposed to meet in the chancel area, sacristy area. He's supposed to be meeting a lay person from the church. And as they go there, to up by this chancel sacristy area, they notice that there's a wooden box that says "Alms for the Poor." And so the pastor looks at his son and says, "Oh, why not? He pulls out his wallet, grabs a $1 bill, and throws it into the wooden box. And then the boy went, and he sat in the back of the church, and the father, he met with this lay leader, got instructions for the service. He led the worship service. He preached the sermon. Everything went great. And then the lay person met up with him before he left. He said, you know, we're a poor congregation. We can't do much for our preachers. And so what we do is we take what's in the alms for the poor box. So he takes this wooden box. He flips it upside down, and into the preacher's hand falls $1. As they're walking out to the car, the boy looks up at his dad, and he says, you know, Dad, if you'd put more into the box, you would have gotten more out. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. A number of years ago, I was a pastor in my first parish, Lake Lillian, Minnesota. The parsonage was right next door. I'd go over on a Saturday and I'd work on my sermon. And one day there was a knock on the door and a stranger came. He said, my name is Eric. He said, you the preacher? And I said, yeah, I'm the pastor here. He said, you help people? I said, well, God helps people and I just try to assist. And he said, I need some help. I need you to help me get my girlfriend back. So he came in, he sat down. And Eric is sitting there, and I said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. I said, you're trying to get your girlfriend back. He said, well, you probably should know, he said, that I live over there in the apartment above the Blue Onion. That was a tavern right across the alley from the parsonage. And he said, I served about 15 years in prison at Stillwater Prison because I killed a man. And he said, I got out. He said, I've always made a mess of my life with drinking. And whenever I drink, I get to be kind of nasty. And he said, so I met this wonderful woman, two little kids. And when I would drink, I'd get nasty. And she finally had enough. And she said, you go in for treatment, you go to AA. She said, you do this anymore. I'm not going to let you just beat me up. I've had enough of this. Me and the girls will leave if this happens again. And he said, so she left me. I said, she left you? I said, what happened? He said, well, I did it again. I said, what? I said, you knew that alcohol was a problem, right? He said, yeah, and I've been going faithfully to AA. He said, but then the other day, he said, some of my best friends, they pulled up in the alley out there in a pickup. They had a cooler of beer. And they're sitting there drinking and they're talking to me and we're talking about our good old times. And then they said, here, have a beer. And I said, no, I can't do that. That stuff's nasty stuff. It destroys my life. And they said, oh, come on. We always used to drink together. Remember all the fun we've had? One won't hurt you. He said, no, I can't. And they kept pushing and pushing. And said, so we're not good enough to drink with anymore? We're your best friends? So he said, I finally gave in and I had a beer. And a second. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and then I lost count. Then my girlfriend came home, and she saw that I'd been drinking. And she said, you've been drinking. Why? He said, you ain't going to tell me what to do, right? That's what Eric says. I told her, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm just having fun with my friend. And he starts pushing her, starts slapping her around, beating her up. She said, I'm gone. You ain't leaving me. But she did. With the two little kids. So Eric looked at me and he said, so preacher, you're going to help me get her back? And I said, Eric, I said, these guys that stopped out there in the pickup truck with this cooler beer, they're your friends? Oh, yeah. I've known them for 30 years. They're my best friends. I said, these guys, they knew that you had a problem with alcohol and they came? And they supplied you with the works of the flesh? You know what Eric said to me? I guess I need some new friends. I prayed with them. I don't know what happened with Eric. I know that when I went home later that day and I told my wife about it, she said, you crazy? That guy served in prison time for murder? I mean, he could have been a loose cannon. I said, what are you supposed to do? You bear one another's burdens, right? And you fulfill the law of Christ. You lift the weights of others. You lift high the cross. You proclaim the love of Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's what Paul is saying to the Galatians. Oh yeah, there is this correlation, you know, between reaping and sowing, but it's not always fixed. It doesn't work. That we know there are people that live disgusting lives and they win the lottery. We know that there are people that go to church every Sunday and they pray. They give you the shirt off of their back. And then they get cancer and they die at a young age when their kids are still little. Be careful of pointing fingers and assuming that everybody always gets what they give. The law of the echo. Our gospel reading for today is a familiar story, and I think it's all about sowing and reaping. Do you think that the man who traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho was a worse sinner? That he was just plain stupid and foolish, and that's why he was reaping what he sowed and got beaten up and left in the ditch half dead? You think that's what happened? It's a familiar story. There's a lawyer. He knows the law. He knows the Torah. He knows it frontwards and backwards, right? He comes to Jesus to test him. He's not sincere. He asks the question, what must I do? Huh? What must I do? Huh? Paul's already told us. It's not about what you do. It's about what God has done. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the law. And so the man quotes the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, and quotes the Leviticus Holiness Code, Leviticus 19. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered rightly. Do this. You'll live. What's the problem? You live by the law, you'll die by the law. You're always going to mess up. You can't do it all. It'll kill you. It will give you nothing but condemnation and a curse. That's why Paul says, don't mess with the gospel. There's no other gospel. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And if you add anything to him or subtract anything from him, you get no Jesus. And you're still in your sin. And the only harvest is death. That's it. Jesus says, go and do this and you'll live. But he can't. And then he wants to justify himself rather than the justification through the faith of Jesus. Huh? Seeking to justify himself, he says, but who's my neighbor? Jesus tells the story. A man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thugs, thieves, robbers. They beat him up. They stripped him. They left him for dead. He was bleeding out. Not by chance, a priest went walking by, saw it, and passed by. And by chance, there was a Levite who saw the circumstances and passed by. And then there was a Samaritan, the despised and rejected one. He saw the need, he got into the ditch, and he bound up the wounds. And then he put him on his beast of burden. He helped carry the weight to the inn. And then he said to the innkeeper, I'll be back on the third day, and I'll pay whatever debt he owes in its entirety. So Jesus says to the lawyer, who was the neighbor? The one who showed mercy. Go and do likewise. You know the story, right? You know it like the back of your hand. So where do we find ourselves in this story? The priest? The Levite? So concerned about our purity and our religion? Oh, maybe we're the Good Samaritan. You know, we have Good Samaritan laws that protect us now. Maybe we actually get down in the ditch, huh? You know what I think, for what it's worth? I think that we're the nameless one in the ditch. We're just simply in the ditch and we're bleeding out. And we've been stripped and beaten. And it's the one who is despised and rejected by the world, the Good Samaritan, Jesus, who has set his face toward Jerusalem, Luke 9:51. He has a destination with the cross, and he gets down in the ditch, and he'll be back on the third day, and he'll pay our debt in full. We reap, Paul says to the Galatians, what Jesus sows. He's the good sower. He's the gospel seed. Yes, there's opposition. There's the birds of the air that come down and they eat up some of those seeds. And there's the thorns that choke out some of those seeds. And there's the human beings that trample down some of those seeds on the path. And there's the sun that scorches some of those seeds. But the harvest is guaranteed. Guaranteed by the one who lifts and bears our burden of sin and death. 30, 60, 100-fold. Whoever has ears to hear, Jesus says, listen. Bear one another's burdens as Christ has borne ours. Go and live and love like Jesus. He's the neighbor in the story who empowers us with His Holy Spirit and the fruit of His Spirit to go and do likewise. This is my last Sunday of preaching here. And I thought about one of my first visits. When I first came here, Lou Buranin had been hospitalized. She was at home recovering. So I went to see Lou and Roger Buranin. First month I was here. And Roger Buranin looked at me and he said, "You know, Pastor, Mount Cross is a mission congregation." I said, "Wow, Roger, you just gave me a wonderful gift." He planted a seed in my soul. You notice he didn't say Mount Cross was, past tense. He said is. If we was, then we is, and we always will be. And if we aren't today, then we never were. Mount Cross is a mission congregation. And so he planted a seed in my soul. And now, after 8.5 years, that seed has produced the fruit. And that fruit is out on the end of a limb where you've taught me. You've taught me through your preaching that we are a mission congregation. And you've given Julie and me the courage to take that leap of faith and to be who we always are in Christ Jesus, servants of the cross, bringing the message of salvation to a world that needs Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so that's what we're going to do in the name of Christ in Rochester, Minnesota. We're going to be who you have taught us to be, the ones who give birth to the Savior of the world. When you say, "Lord, You've said a lot of things nobody else can say." When you say, "Lord, You said You cared enough to only want the King of Kings. Jesus is all in all. He is the very best. For there is nothing more. There's only something less." When you say, "Lord Jesus, You've said it all." Paul began his letter by defending his apostleship. "I got my call not from the seminary and not from the synod, but from Jesus Christ. And so did you." And Paul ended by saying, "Let no one trouble me. I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And so do you. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Marked with the cross of Christ forever. Don't let anybody mess with the recipe. Don't let anybody take that rental car and put it in reverse. There's no other gospel. There's no other gospel but Christ crucified and risen for you. So lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim. And remember the blessing that Paul began with and ends with. Grace and peace. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen.